Welcome to our Bible study segment, and we've got Beth Seifert here with today's Bible lesson in 1 Samuel. So open your Bibles there if you have them, and remember, all of these segments are recorded and saved, archived in our Bible studies archives. You can download the study guides that go with each one of these and have your own Bible study with your ladies around your own kitchen table. And we just welcome Beth Seifert. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hey, Amy. Today we're going to see more about Saul and David. And if you remember from yesterday, David is on the run from Saul. His wife has helped him to escape, and David is on the run, and Saul has sent three groups of messengers, and then he's gone himself to see if he can't find David so that he can kill him. And God has protected David throughout all of this. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 1 through 15. Then David fled from Naoth and Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is my guilt? And what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life?" And he said to him, "Far from it, you shall not die. Behold, my father does nothing, either great or small, without disclosing it to me. And why should my father hide this from me? It is not so." But David vowed again, saying, "Your father knows well that I have found favor in your eyes, and he thinks, 'Do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved.' But truly, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death." Then Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you say, I will do for you." David said to Jonathan, "Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit at table with the king. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field till the third day at evening. If your father misses me at all, then say, 'David earnestly asked leave of me to run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the clan.' If he says, 'Good,' it will be well with your servant. But if he is angry, then know that harm is determined by him. Therefore, deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. But if there is guilt in me, kill me yourself, for why should you bring me to your father?" And Jonathan said, "Far be it from you. If I knew that it was determined by my father that harm should come to you, would I not tell you?" Then David said to Jonathan, "Who will tell me if your father answers you roughly?" And Jonathan said to David, "Come, let us go into the field." So they both went out into the field. And Jonathan said to David, "The Lord, the God of Israel, be witness. What I have sounded out my father, about this time tomorrow or the third day, behold, if he is well disposed toward David, shall I not then send and disclose it to you? But should it please my father to do you harm, the Lord do so to Jonathan and more also, if I do not disclose it to you and send you away that you may go in safety. May the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. If I am still alive, show me the steadfast love of the Lord that I may not die. And do not cut off your steadfast love from my house forever when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." Well, after David was protected by Samuel, he goes to his dearest friend, Jonathan. Saul, it appears, is still in his trance or prophesying. Remember, he was there for a full day and night. And so David is able to sneak away to find Jonathan. David earnestly asks Jonathan to tell him if there's some major error that David has committed that has made Saul so angry with him. Saul won't stop until he's killed David, and David entreats Jonathan to help him to figure out why and to help him to figure out what to do from here. Is Saul absolutely bent on his death, or is Saul going to relent and repent? What is really going on here? Is Saul just going nuts? Jonathan was genuinely surprised. He had no idea at all this was happening. He had no idea that his father had sent those messengers to Naoth to grab David and to bring him back to be killed. He's totally stunned by this. Remember who it was that talked Saul out of killing David a chapter ago? It was Jonathan. Jonathan thought that was the end of it. He thought this had been dealt with, so he had no idea that this was coming. When David points out that Saul knows the relationship, the intense friendship between Jonathan and David, and that Saul doesn't want Jonathan to know about his plan. After all, Jonathan stopped Saul once before. Jonathan would surely have been grieved to be told of this plan of Saul's, not only because of the sin that Saul was planning to commit, but also at the proposed loss of his dearest friend. So Jonathan agrees to help David find out what Saul is really up to. Now, remember the part that David played in the court of Saul. He was a soldier, he was a leader, he was the music player to soothe the savage Saul, and he was a man of importance. When there were festivals, he would be expected to attend. It would be strange for him to not be there, at least to the outsider in terms of keeping up appearances. So David asks leave of Jonathan here, and since Saul hadn't returned from his little errand yet, Jonathan has the authority to grant this leave to go and join in an annual sacrifice of his clan. Now, this was a reasonable excuse for David to be missing from a monthly festival with Saul to join in an annual sacrifice for his family. Now, remember, though, apparently not many people know that Saul has been sending messengers to kill David. This appears to have been kept under wraps. Of course, Saul and David know what is really going on, and David isn't going to appear at that feast. But Saul can still claim that David should be there. Seriously, all this misdirection and scheming is enough to give you a headache. So, if Saul is mad when he hears the reason David isn't there, as told by Jonathan, who isn't supposed to know that Saul is trying to kill David, then Jonathan will know that, yeah, Saul is trying to kill him. But if Saul is calm and accepts the reason that David isn't there, then Jonathan knows that there's something else going on here. Here's the hard part for these two friends. They both know that if Saul was angry, if Saul is really trying to kill David, this is the end for their friendship while Saul is the anointed king of Israel. There simply is no way that David can enter into Saul's court while the king wants David dead. Now, here's an interesting part. Jonathan acts to save David, and the words he uses to save David's life are the same ones that Abel used to lure his brother Cain to his death. Come, let us go out into the field. Jonathan shows David how he will deliver the message of the king's response, and then Jonathan goes one step further. Jonathan expects David to be the king one day. He asks David to remember him when David is the king and to protect Jonathan and his family. One more time, we see Jonathan's heart and we see an understanding in Jonathan that can only come from God. Jonathan knows his father isn't going to meet a happy end. He knows this after a lifetime of watching his father do things his own way, not God's way. Jonathan knows where Saul's heart is focused, on Saul. And Jonathan knows that God isn't going to let that go unchecked. He's already seen the beginning of that with the spirit that is tormenting Saul and with the removal of God's spirit from Saul. So we see Jonathan act with grace and understanding here, knowing that he isn't going to be king one day, but that David will. And Jonathan's not mad. Jonathan isn't joining the plot to kill David. He's not luring David into the field to get rid of him so that he can be the king someday. He simply asks his friend to remember him when David does become the king. See, the usual event in that day and age was to kill the previous king's heirs so that there was no one to challenge the throne when a new king, who would be unrelated to the previous king, took his place. And Jonathan knows that, and he's just asking that his friend remember that he, Jonathan, is not like his father. And he's asking David to keep that in mind in the future. Jonathan's not bitter or angry. Jonathan is truly selfless here. Instead of vying for his chance to become king and letting his father kill David without interfering, Jonathan acts to save his friend. Jonathan wants what God wants, and so does David. Even if it means a lack of prestige for himself, Jonathan wants God to be glorified, and he's able to look at the bigger picture and see what God wants instead of what he might want. Jonathan must have had a good mother, or God must have been with Jonathan from his birth, because he surely did not learn this behavior from his father. And what an example of friendship that we see in Jonathan here. David comes to Jonathan with something that Jonathan didn't want to hear. Seriously, would you want to hear that your best friend was being hunted down to be killed by your father? Yet Jonathan doesn't get mad at David. He takes David's concerns seriously, listens to David, and makes a plan to determine whether what David said was, in fact, actually going on. So today I'm going to challenge us all and ask this question. What kind of a friend are you? When someone comes to you and tells you something that you don't want to hear, how do you react? Do you get defensive? Do you refuse to listen? Do you get angry? Or do you listen to what they said, consider it, and bring it before God to see whether that person is speaking the truth to you or not? Here's the thing. Sometimes there are people who will tell you things that aren't true, but that is not the default. There will be times when people tell you things that are true. And that friend probably had to gear up their courage to bring this issue up to you out of love for you and concern for you, not out of malice. We need to be more willing to give people the benefit of the doubt instead of dismissing their concerns out of hand without even considering what they said and whether or not it's true. Here's an even harder question to consider. When a friend is raised up, do you rejoice with that friend and help them in their efforts, or does your jealousy and desire to put yourself forward get in the way? Are you glad for the good that is happening in their life? Are you thankful for what God is doing to grow them and the opportunities that God is blessing them with? Or do you ask, why not me? Do you say to yourself, I can do that better than them? Why'd they get picked and not me? Does your own agenda get in the way? Or do you look to God and see what He would have you do, to see where He has planted you, and instead of continually wishing that you were somewhere else? Are you blooming where you're planted and rejoicing with others as they are blessed? Or are you simply existing, waiting for your ship to come in? In the end, the most important thing is for God's will to be done. And if that means that someone else gets the promotion or the house or the car or whatever it is that you're wanting, are you able to let that happen with grace? Remember, your peace comes from God. He can help you see what He wants from you, too. And when you follow Him, you'll have joy and peace in all circumstances. Even when you don't get picked for that solo or you don't get that new job, but your friend does. Jonathan was seeking God's glory, even as it cost him a kingship. Whose glory are you truly seeking? Yours or God's?
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.